In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lesson 37 is on prayer. You see in a cartoon at the top of page 226, someone's in someone's imagination showing the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then there's seven tongues of flame coming out from the Holy Ghost, representing the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles and the Blessed Virgin. And the quote from the book of Acts says, "All these," parenthetically the apostles, "with one mind continued steadfastly in prayer, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So in the cartoon, there is a reference to the early days of the church. And this continuing steadfastly is one of the keys to a life of prayer. Don't give up. If it is not answered, if you don't get anything from it in terms of feelings, if you're too tired, whatever the case is, don't give up. And there are many, many examples of this from Holy Scripture. The apostles did not give up, and they laid the foundations of something which would take over the Roman Empire. Question 475. What is prayer? It is the lifting up of our minds and hearts to God. It's an act of love. It is sometimes called conversation with God. But conversation of love, a heart-to-heart talk with God, who is love and who loves us. Lifting up here means to lift our thoughts up to Him, away from what is down here below, or to lift up what is here below to Him. So, for example, if I take the difficult neighbor and present him to God for God's help and guidance, I am praying. The word prayer comes from the Anglo-Saxon word that means please, as in pray pass the butter. So we are asking God. There always has that aspect of asking, no matter what kind of prayer we're doing. When the lifting up is being done with my heart, in love of God, I am not just praying, I am praying well. And this has everything to do with the greatest theological virtue, which is charity. The essence of the virtue, if you remember, is to be friends with God. Question 476. Why do we pray? We pray first to adore God, expressing to Him our love and loyalty. Second, to thank Him for His favors. Third, to obtain from Him the pardon of our sins and the remission of their punishment. And fourth, to ask for graces and blessings for ourselves and others. Question 477. How should we pray? We should pray first with attention, second with a conviction of our own helplessness and our dependence upon our God, third with a great desire for the graces we beg of Him, fourth with loving trust in His goodness, and fifth with perseverance. Attention is gained by putting yourself in the presence of God. It's like good listening, which is, of course, a big part of prayer. So when we're listening to somebody, really listening, we put down what we were doing, set down our pen or pencil or close the laptop, and look at the person to whom we are speaking or whom is speaking to us. We listen, pay attention. Conviction and desire, those come from choice. We have to will to pray. We have to choose it. Regarding trust in His goodness, St. Thomas More, a wonderful saint, once said, "Confidence is the only prayer." Confidence is the only prayer. And perseverance, there we're back to that thing we started with. We have to choose not to give up, for whatever reason. Question 478. For whom should we pray? Well, we should pray especially for ourselves, our parents, relatives, friends, and enemies, for sinners, for the souls in purgatory, for the Pope, bishops and priests of the Church, and for officials of our country. Everybody. In other words, we should pray for everybody, enemies as well as friends. But we pray differently for different people. For example, the way I pray for my mother for the repose of her soul is quite different than the way I pray for my enemies. For example, you might find yourself not able at all to pray for an enemy, but just for friends. Yet Christ said, Do not the pagans do as much? So we have to ask for the grace to pray for our enemies. But if you're at a loss as how to pray for your enemy, you could simply ask that they be struck with confusion so that their evil plans, say, do not come to pass. And whatever they are doing which is contrary to the love of God, the will of God, that it would not come to completion. The frustration of those evil plans would actually be a good thing for you. You would actually be wishing well for them. So it's a good thing to pray for. You would be helping them by praying for their frustration and confusion. It's a good way to pray for enemies. Not the only way, but one good way. Question 479. How do we know that God always hears our prayers if we pray properly? We know that God always hears our prayers if we pray properly because our Lord has promised. If you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Asking in his name means asking for love of him, since the name represents the person bearing it. We ask what we need to love him. Even if we do not use these words, what we really mean is this: O Lord, please give me what I need to please you. And if what I am asking for does not really please you, then do not give it to me. Give me instead what would really please you, even if it is a cross. Such a prayer God has guaranteed to answer. So notice it said, out of love for God. So getting back to an enemy, for example, praying for an enemy out of love for the enemy may not be possible for you. But you could do it if you did it for God. That is, I'm going to pray for this enemy out of love for that my enemy's creator. It's different. I hope you see that. Notice the give me what would really please you. Well, in such a prayer, that is true confidence and true trust.